live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
JB, can you hear me? Oh, I don't think he can hear me. All right, we're going to try him again. Let's just give us momentarily here, folks. A little bit of technical difficulties tonight. What do you expect on a nice little Wednesday edition? Let's try a few other options while we try to get John in here. Let's see here. Input. Let's try this. Let's see if this might pick up John momentarily. We'll see. But no, as we wait for John to call back in, we try his system. NFL Week 2, Colts fans, as we were saying, where do we sit, Colts fans? We've got Shane Steichen. We've got Chris Ballard. Now, I don't think Steichen is technically on the hot seat. It's a little too early for that going into year two, but you can question some play calling. You can question some packages going in there for Shane Steichen there because, yeah, Jonathan Taylor. Did they have the teams? Did they have the boys ready to play? We don't know here. Let's try one more time. JB, can you hear me?
Man, we're coming loud, silent. I hear you.
You can hear me. All right. Good. Welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right, man. I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk, but here we are, episode 316, man. I know you kind of already jumped right into it, man, but, like, nah, man, I'm doing just fine, man, coming off this, turn the big 5-0 high. So, like, nah, man, I know we a little football heavy. Where you want to start it?
Yeah, let's dive right into the NFL, John. Let's dive in.
Okay.
People want it. Indianapolis Colts, John. Colts lose to the Packers.
Yeah, they do.
Kind of a disgusting game. 16-10, Colts lose. Anthony Richardson, the good, the bad, the ugly. You can call from him. 17-34, 50%, 204 yards, one touchdown, three picks. Jonathan Taylor. John really had 12 carries for 103 yards. Had a great three quarters, John, and then he never touched the ball again the rest of the game. Colts defense
weird.
Gave up over 200 yards rushing. That's the big factor.
Weird.
That's right now, John.
Yep. Yeah. That wasn't what, you know, saying the envision. You know what I mean? People kind of envisioned. They knew they were gonna, you know, saying maybe take a little bit. You know, the coach was gonna be a little lax in the secondary, man. But like, man, no, they can't. The coach can't stop a cold. You couldn't trust the coach to, you know, saying win a game and defensively. You couldn't trust the coach to win a defensive game of Connect Four. You know what I'm saying? And I know that sounds disrespectful, man, but I still can't go scorched earth just yet, man. I know you people want to go scorched earth already, want to put paper bags. I know I've seen that on the Crossroads Sports Facebook page, man. I didn't necessarily think. We're still just 0-2, but, like, it was, like, people don't listen, Brandon. You can't do three things at once, man, and still be successful at all of them, unfortunately, man. It's a hard juggle, man. So, like, the kid, let's go back. Let's rewind, Brandon. Let's rewind, man. The leader of the team had three interceptions. It's very hard to overcome a game with, you know what I'm saying, when the, you throw it to the ball to the other team. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to get connectivity. It's hard to get that connectivity with your tight ends and your wideouts and John Taylor. You know what I'm saying? When they use him in the, you know what I'm saying, in the slot, you know what I'm saying, in the slot way. It's hard to get that if you throw the ball to the other team.
Right.
That's not efficient football. You know, that's not efficient football at all. So man, you kind of have to start right there.
Yeah.
And then go at the defense, because the defense, I get it, man, but like three interceptions is not going to cut it. And that's not going to cut this team into any type of playoff position. I kind of alluded to it, man, because you can't develop a quarterback at the same time and still think, oh, yeah, this team, just because we have these veteran pieces or these mature pieces that we have ready, and just jump right into the playoff situation. It doesn't necessarily work like that.
Right. John, can you hear me? I was switching mics, seeing if that was working. Yeah, I agree. And, Mike, I'm not putting Shane Steichen on the hot seat. A lot of Colts fans want to put Steichen on this hot seat. And,
nah.
It's crazy to do that so early. And it's crazy. I don't think he deserved – now, was there a questionable play calling? 100%. Was there a questionable Mel in there? 100%. Do you put the blame with the Matt Gay situation? The dude obviously is not healthy. He shouldn't have been in there to play to begin with as a kicker, and you're trotting him out there for a 50-yard field goal. Like, what are you doing? I don't think he's on the hot seat. I think it's like a 30%. I think the burner is warm, but I don't think he's even close to touching it yet. But Ballard again, man, that defense, he relied on that defense, and I don't give a shit. John, yeah. You talked about it last week, excuses on defense, injuries. I don't give a shit. Everybody has injuries in the NFL these days. So I'm not going to give him the pass for injuries because everybody has that. The Packers sure as hell had it with Jordan Love. And you letting a backup guy that shouldn't even have been a quarterback, Malik Willis, come in there and manage the game for 12 of 14 for 122 yards. Where's that secondary at? You didn't improve it whatsoever. I put Ballard squarely on that hot seat, and Jim Irsay coming to be happy with that.
Right. Right. They didn't register that. You know what I'm saying? Nobody got to the quarterback, and y'all know what was coming. So that was. I'm, though, Brandon. You know, this is offensive football league, though, dude. I get it, man. We can Gus Bradley. You know, what I'm saying, he might not make it to week five. I get it. You know, what I'm saying, But quarterback play has to get tremendously better, and I think it will. But the level of expectation, man, I mean, you can't listen, man. Gardner, you can laugh at it, man. Gardner Minshew over there winning the game with the Raiders, man, because he's a veteran. He knows how to, you know what I'm saying, in his limited way. We have a quarterback. The Colts have a quarterback with unlimited potential. But, like, they have skipped the steps here of, like, how many snaps and, like, preseason and, like, all those things, man. He was injured. Like, man, it's kind of like necessarily – I'm not saying a recipe for that. We're not heading to Bryce Young waters just yet. You know what I'm saying? Where we're talking about, have the Colts ruined this quarterback? You know what I'm saying? You know the people are waiting for to pull that lever, Brad. They want, you know what I'm saying? They want to have the Colts.
That quarterback, it was easy, though. It was easier than you
well,
know, all
yeah,
college. Just
yeah,
direct
man,
line.
I know. We got to also protect these youngsters from themselves, man. I take it, man, we really didn't harp on it, man. But Tom Brady, you know, as he's transitioning from player to analyst, man, he said something that I think a lot of people ignore. It's a soundbite. I'll find it, man, share it on the Crossroads Sports page, man. But he's like, man, yo, why are we so gung-ho into throwing these quarterbacks out here thinking that they're ready just because where they were, you know what I'm saying, they drafted them number one, two, number three, number four. He was speaking from personal experience.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Figuring, you know, Drew Bledsoe, if Drew Bledsoe don't get hurt, man, Tom Brady still hold a clipboard, y'all. And that's what Bill Belichick said, you know what I'm saying? Whether they win the Super Bowl or not, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? That's a whole nother, you know what I'm saying, what if. But imagine, you know what I'm saying, they had that level of quarterback depth on the New England Patriots team, you know what I'm saying, at that time. So you have to groom, you know what I'm saying, I know it's a horrible word, but you got to groom some guys to be the next person, you know what I'm saying, to take. San Francisco had a whole farm of quarterbacks, so did Green Bay at one point. But you know what I'm saying, behind, you know what I'm saying, everybody, you know what I'm saying, whether it was Brett Favre or Joe Montana, you know what I'm saying, they had somebody waiting, you know what I'm saying, whatever. But like now that day has kind of turned. Like now they was like, hey man, get this, hurry up and get this kid out there, man. The dude ain't down. Brandon, he looked like he could play the part, but Brandon, they ain't got him throwing no, he ain't throwing nothing down the field. You know what I'm saying? He don't have no offensive passing touchdowns. He got one in a couple that he ran. You know what I'm saying? But they really run him to throw the quarterbacks out too fast, man. The Colts probably should have found some more money for another veteran quarterback. If they didn't want to run back with Gardner Minshew, I get it. You know what I'm saying? And then you had that. Well, who's starting? But listen, man, the kid should probably be on a. Think about it, man. No disrespect. Steve McNair was on a clipboard. You know what I'm saying? Patrick Mahomes was on a clipboard. You know what I'm saying? So it's okay if you be on a clipboard and you don't have to get your career just started just yet. So I don't know, man. Coach. Who did? Big Ben?
So for four games.
So it's okay. It's okay. But a lot of times, man, they want these quarterbacks that are ready, set, go, and they're not necessarily ready for the big moment, man. So we shall see.
Diving into last Thursday's game, Bills win 31-10 over the Dolphins. Tua, another concussion, man. Does he need to wrap it up?
That's not going to happen. You know, he's not going to – I don't think he's going to quit no time soon. There is some type of injury clause in the contract that he just signed. But, again, as an athlete, personal pride, you know what I'm saying? Again, this is a guy that just kind of came out and said people was kind of questioning my softness. You know what I'm saying? With the coach, you know what I'm saying? The coach had said they didn't want him or whatever, and then he has to go out and prove him and get the $200 million contract, man. So I think he'll make the best. Of course, he'll make the best. You got to listen to the doctors, man. They say if you can get one more dinger and that's it. And the levels of concussion that he's had, man. You know what I'm saying? Only he knows that him and his in the inner circle kind of knows that, man. So I don't, but I, you know, personal pride and how athletes kind of think, I don't think this is it for him. It would have to be one more severe one, and that would be it. But I don't think this is it for him.
Over the Panthers, Bryce Young benched. That was more of a coach decision. Raiders beat the Ravens 26-23. The Ravens lose at home. They're 0-2 to start the year. And I'm going to ask you what's more surprising, the Ravens 0-2 or the Saints being 2-0, 44-19 win over the Cowboys in Big D?
Very surprising that the Saints are 2-0, and especially in dramatic fashion, how they did it against versus Dallas. Just took him out. The homie, he should have been running to the middle like Terrell Owens did. Man, they scored so many touchdowns. Offense did, you know what I'm saying? So, that's crazy. It's coming out after Dallas, after Dak signed the big-time contract. You know what I'm saying? The next game, y'all lay a dud, a huge dud on both sides. Where was the defense at? You know what I mean? Nowhere. So, Dallas got a lot of questions. I think Dallas gets back on board, you know what I mean? They get back on. They got more. They look at the division they're playing, Brandon. The division is still like can you believe Philadelphia, how they lost? That was terrible. You know what I'm saying? We know the Washington guard, that's not going to, you know what I'm saying? Eventually he's going to start looking even worse, a rookie. You know what I'm saying? I told you, they don't have money throwing down the field just yet. And the Giants are probably in play for Manning, for the damn self, you know what I'm saying, 2 years running. So. The Ravens is a little bit more concerning, Brandon, that they can't get behind the eight ball in the one loss column, you know what I'm saying, with the winning divisions they're playing. Just because everybody likes to, the Pittsburgh Steelers like to get a jump on, you know how it is, you know what I'm saying. Brandon, you still got to be questioning the level of can they score. You know what I'm saying? You got consistency. You know who's going to be starting now, right? But they ain't lighting up the scoreboard in Pittsburgh. But they still find a way to win. But, those teams down there, they not going away, man. I don't know why people are trying to put dirt on Cleveland. I get it, man. The Deshaun Watson, you know what I'm saying, off the field, he's Mr. Yuck. But, they just got to figure it out. Oh, they just got to figure out on the field. You know what I'm saying? He just had a bad game or two, man. It's not like he's terrible. You know what I'm saying? It's not like the Bengals are terrible. The Bengals just can't finish the deal against Kansas City. They're not going away. You know what I'm saying? So the team like the Ravens, they have to be a little concerned. They can't, Brandon, they have a must-win game this weekend against Dallas. They have a must, it has to be. It's a must-win. They have to win. Otherwise, they're looking 0-3, going back into division play. Nobody, you're a predictable football team. They know how to beat you.
Uh-huh.
That's what be the scouting report if they don't get a win versus Dallas.
Buccaneers win 20-16 over the Lions in Detroit.
Surprise.
Baker and them are looking good. I like what I'm seeing. I think the biggest shocker for me might have been the Vikings, 23-49-17. Niners just got everybody hurt. Debo's hurt. McCaffrey's hurt.
Yeah.
Hurt's not looking good. IU can't catch a ball. Like,
yeah.
We're going to ask Tanner, what's his concern level with the 49ers?
Yeah, the Vikings are a little fluky, man. I ain't gonna hate too much on Sam Darnold, man. He's a well-traveled quarterback, man. He just, you know, say it's good for him, you know, to finally win some games, try to finally get some connectivity, you know what I'm saying, with an organization, you know what I'm saying. I was kind of raised eyebrow, you know what I'm saying, Monday Night Football, honestly, with you, Brandon, with the Falcons. You know what I'm saying? I think everybody kind of had them roasted up and done and was looking for Penix Jr. to kind of come in already and game two, but, like, that wasn't meant to be, man. So the NFL still got, around the league still got some sizzle, but, a lot of teams still can't figure out how to close. A lot of teams with expectations still don't know how to close out games, man. And that's where the Ravens kind of sit at. That's kind of where you mentioned – San Francisco is just banged up right now. But, again, you know, they got time to rectify. They got time to rectify, but, like, who's going to be in front of them probably before they rectify, you know what I'm saying? Because that would be the concern for me, though. But, yeah, it's just week two, y'all. Just week two. No panic. Everybody.
How about
the
Cardinals? Cardinals, Kyler Murray, 41-10. Marvin Harrison Jr., 2 touchdowns. It's good to see they got that connection. Wife.
You think so, Brandon? That's going to turn, though, man. You know that's going to turn, man.
I don't think so. I think they're going to be a nice playoff team.
Man, is that going to hold defensively? You think it's going to hold defensively? This last year, like 2 years ago, that's when they needed the defense. I don't know if that's still where they're at right now. I'll do a deep dive on it, man, but I don't know if that's going to hold. You know what I mean? It'd be good to have Arizona back into a playoff conversation, though.
Okay. Steelers win 2-0, 13-6 over the Broncos. Defense, great as always. What can we say? Offensively, Justin did what Justin was supposed to do. He managed the ball game. And the run game was good. Najee, 69 yards. Warren had 42. Fields had 27. 120-something yards rushing. Fields, 13-20, 117 yards and 1 touchdown. Now, it wasn't flashy, but John, Najee had a run of 46 yards that got called back for holding by Broderick Jones. The very next play, Pickens, 50-something yards on a pass from Justin Fields. That got called back for holding from Broderick Jones. Broderick Jones had 3 turnovers or 3 penalties in 1 possession, got his ass yanked out, and then started bitching that it was the referee's fault. And Thomas said, I don't want to have to hear it. The dude doesn't look like he wants to play. Well, guess what? If we ain't gonna have you start, then he goes, if I'm not starting, I don't think I should be playing at all. Well, then fine, don't play. You're a rookie from Georgia, a second-year player from Georgia, and you sucked last year. Like, figure it out, man.
Damn.
Like, it's good to see Thomas said we're getting quicker. He's immature and not ready for the big stage. But you take away those two, John. I mean, they could have scored more points. Offensive would have looked a little bit more efficient. Fields and stats would have looked a little better. Najee would have been over 100 yards. Just need a little bit more work.
Bo Nix is throwing up, you know what I'm saying, freebies. Somebody going to the Pro Bowl from the Pittsburgh Steelers, man, whether he was throwing out there.
But honestly, I'm okay with Fields still. I think he brings a layer of athleticism to this team that we haven't had in the past, that you didn't have from Mitch, you didn't have from Kenny, you didn't have from Rudolph, you didn't have from, name this quarterback. which is great, and he's just going to get more and more reps, which is going to help with this program, where you can finally start opening it up. Tomlin said before the game that, hey, I want you to do some flashy stuff. And he did. He did some flashy stuff up there. He opened it up a little bit. But they also said, let's reel it in. And I didn't like going into the second half. And granted, Pittsburgh probably knew what they needed to do, and it was considered a run game in the second half. But they didn't go out there to try to be flashy and do that, right? They didn't. Pittsburgh Steelers football, where you manage the game and you come out with the win, and that's what you needed to do. Now, they got a tough one this week. Hey, John, you're 2-0, and your first two games are on the road. That's huge. I'm going to take that. You're in first place in the division. You're up one game on Cleveland. You're up 2 on Cincinnati, and you're up 2 on Baltimore. That's huge. Now you got a home game against the Chargers. First home opener here this week against Harbaugh and the Chargers. Let's see what Fields can do at home, right? And Russ, we're not rushing him out there. There's talks that Miami might be interested in getting Russ Wilson in a trade since Tua's going to be out an extended period of time. But I don't think Pittsburgh would go out and randomly trade. I think they're still trying to figure out what they have with Fields. They wouldn't just trade unless they got a ransom from the Dolphins for it. If the Dolphins are in that dire shape that they need the quarterback, because the dude they put in there the other night, he ain't worth a shit. So we'll see on that. But overall, Pittsburgh, John, 2-0 in the division. You're up two games on your they're all big rivals, but two of your rivals you expected to be good this year. You're up two games on them already at the start, and you've got two less home road games you got to worry about.
I learned better not to question, to Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers and how they navigate their schedule. And it's other fools, man. Like when you start talking about, like I said, I get concerned about when they have to level up and start playing the teams with a little bit more firepower, a little more punch on the offense. Pittsburgh Steelers are gonna be there at the end. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to worry.
Yeah, I'll be at the game in 2 weeks when they're here against the Colts. So can't wait for that. And I got a little off the air topic for you as well that I found out. So that's going to be cool. Other games, John. I want to talk. Where is it at? Jets get a win and come back. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets beat the Titans. Okay, I'm all right with that. How about the biggest highway robbery of all, man? Referees bail out the Chiefs again, John. 26-25 over Joe Burrow. Pickles fans are pissed. They are pissed.
Was that a bailout?
I mean, it was a penalty, but still, by letter of the law.
Man, the Bengals were pissed, man. But there were other penalties in the game that they like to forget kind of happened. Besides that one, that was just the one that was kind of highlighted at the end of the game, man. And once you give the Kansas City Chiefs a little bit of a chance, like you just go ahead and assume that the game is over and walk on out. And that's what happened, man. The field goal got kick came out, and it knocked us home. That was it. Y'all lost the game. You know what I'm saying? Not to laugh at your misfortune. You know what I'm saying? Cincinnati Bengals. Because they played them very tightly, very closely, man. Defense Cincinnati did definitely step up, man. That whistle, man. The whistle favors, the most aggressive team, man. Kansas City just knows how to put themselves in position to win, Brandon. You can't fault them for that.
How about Ball State and Center Grove, former player Carson Steele, making himself a nice role there in Kansas City?
Can't knock that, you know what I'm saying? Playing a little running back, playing a little fullback, you know what I'm saying? Yep.
So, looking good there. The next one, I need you to talk some people off the ledge, John.
Damn.
I'm not going to be playing bagpipes. I'm not playing it for me. I'm playing it for what people have sent to me and the shit I'm seeing on Twitter. And I'm not about the bagpipes with this one, but I have to play it because that's what the people want. But, John,
I understand.
Let's talk to Bears fans off the ledge, all right? It's not as bad as it looks. You're 1-1. You lost to a good Texans team at home. Playing like crap. Right. Your defense stepped up. The offense is a little shaky, like Pittsburgh. But Williams threw two picks. John, they're going to get him killed, though, if they don't get an offensive line with some blocking.
Well, they are playing the Colts this weekend.
Brandon,
you always put out your betting proposition of like what's going to be the first tie of the NFL.
Stop
it. You do this every year.
I do. I haven't had it yet.
This might be the first tie because you haven't announced it yet. This might be the first time. I'm just going to throw it out there like that, man. These teams are still very young, very flawed. I had thought, you know what I'm saying, be honest with you, man, and I'm errant, I guess, in my thinking. I had thought they had kind of answered some of their offensive line woes in Chicago, you know what I'm saying, bringing in some of got the kid from Penn State, who I was like, oh, yeah, everybody needs him. But I know they're still having some issues or whatnot on the offensive line, man. And we've seen him previously, and when in his other role, if USC quarterback, man, struggles when he has does not have great offensive line play behind him, Caleb Williams. So, but they are playing the Colts, who again, quarterback is still developing himself, man. So, I don't know, Brad. I know you'd ask, but I would add the defensive side for Chicago definitely be better than the Colts right now. Offensive line for the Colts is better than the offensive line the Bears. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So there's that. Quarterback kind of toss them up right now, isn't it? It might be a tie, buddy. I'm sorry. That's what I'm saying. It's going to be a tie this weekend.
John's going to take this tie. It'll be that one, he says. Okay.
It's going to be this.
Yeah,
it's gonna be
I don't know which one I'm going to do it as, John. It's going to take some time for
Special
me to.
Special teams for the Colts.
Oh.
Special teams for the Colts instead of Wash. Nah, man. This would be a tie game.
I got my tie for the year. First one of the year.
You found it? Have you found
it?
What is it?
It's going to be week 8. So right before Halloween, October 27th, we'll have our first tie.
Who are you predicting, Kwame?
Carolina Panthers and Denver Broncos.
Stop it. It will not stop it. Bo Nix is going to light them up that night.
Tell me, John. Tell me that you can't see tie on that.
Hopefully somebody from the USFL beating got called up by then. You know what I'm saying? They can fill in some roles. Some guys can get a job, man. You know what I'm saying? Because Bo Nix is out here lost.
Come on now. He ain't lost. No. I thought Bo played all right. I think he played all right. I really do. He just played a great defense. Give the defense credit.
Okay.
How are you? I'm going to say Colts win this week. I'm going to say Colts beat the Bears this week.
Wow.
Let's see.
Get the blue.
Yeah, it ain't going to be a blue Monday. Ballard, the hot seat's not off. It gets turned up. The spread's Colts minus 1.5. I'm going to say...
Okay.
And that's funny because I just saw the over-unders, 43.5, and I thought the line would be Colts 23-20. So that's 43. So I like that. I'm going to take the under 43.5. 43 points scored, 23-20 Colts at home on a last-second field goal. Somehow the hell they get it done by old Matt Gay. Somehow. Or they put the other dude in.
He's going to get it done.
Yeah. Bear down, man. Bears aren't bad. I am pulling for the Bears this year. I want to see them do good. I want to see Caleb Williams be successful. Right now, everything I'm seeing is old Bears. And Matt Eberflus is that guy, John. I saw him challenge a play Sunday night. That was obvious to me. It was obvious to my wife. It was obvious to my grandparents, RIP, both of them. But they're watching from the heaven, and it's obvious to them that the play was not going to go in the Bears' favor. And whoever the hell is still telling Eberflus to go out and challenge, they need to pull that guy, yank him off the field, because let me come in there and do the job, because I would have told you, this is going to challenge and be in your favor whatsoever. Idiot. Get him out of there. I am worried about DJ Moore. His chemistry on the sideline looked like he was pissed off as can be. It's hard to be like second week of the season. You're already pissed off at your quarterback or whatnot. I mean,
Right.
Listen. Let's relax now. This ain't Cam Newton down there. This isn't Bryce Young. Let's relax. Caleb Williams, he's going to be good. I think he'll be good. He'll be decent, serviceable quarterback. I don't see great. He'll be good. But let's just hold off there a little bit up there in Chicago. They'll be all right. Bears fans, believe me. John may not tell you, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to be all right. This might not be this week.
They were talking about somebody, man, on the dark web was like, Caleb Williams, Grossman. I said, man, that's disrespectful. Don't say that ever, Grossman.
Oh, Jesus.
He's not the first level.
Nah. Maybe Cutler. He'll be Cutler-esque. Cutler was good. Cutler's probably their best quarterback they've had in how many years?
Right. He just had he just had his Brandon Marshall. That was his best receiver. Was that his best receiver?
Down around it, man.
You know what I'm saying? Tight end.
John, my top five teams in the NFL right now, don't at me. Wait, never mind. That's not my line. That's a shtick right there. Top five NFL teams, Chiefs, Bills, still trusting in the 49ers, John, with the talent they've got, the Texans, and then the Lions. Eagles are dropping a little bit, man. I don't like what I see on that defense. So Chiefs, Bills, Niners, Texans, and Lions, my top five worst teams, the five worst, the basement teams, the cellars, the dwellers.
I hear the paper. I hear it.
The ass in the jackpot teams. Number one, Carolina Panthers. I think we can all agree there. The Carolina Panthers are the worst team in the league. Second,
they are.
The New York Football Giants. Second shittiest team in the league right now.
I go for that.
New York Giants.
Yeah.
I apologize, but it is what it is for the Giants. Third worst, the Denver Broncos. That team is just complete trash. There's no improvement from last year. You got a quarterback, but damn, there's no talent really around him to do anything. So RIP, Denver Broncos. So right now we've got Panthers, Giants, and Broncos. The fourth, John, and his coach yelled at him and asked him, what the hell are you doing? And that's Tennessee Titans. Did you see Will Levitt's trying to throw that little underhand ball shit that was a fumble recovery? And his coach said, what the hell are you doing? Read the lips perfectly. Tennessee Titans lose again 24-17, and that helps out the AFC style with Colts fans. But fourth worst team, Tennessee Titans. By the way, they've lost their first two games 24-17. I'm going to put a bet on this weekend. They play the Packers. I'm just going to put a bet on that they lose 24-17. I wonder what the odds would be. I mean, it's a $5 bet. You feel like you got to put on something to see if you get the exact score again. So I'm going to do it. But, fourth worst team, Tennessee Titans. So AFC South, you got to be happy with that. Houston, you got to be happy with that. Jacksonville, Indianapolis, you got to be happy. Titans are having a bad team.
I almost want to add Jacksonville to the worst teams, man.
No.
I almost want to.
I know you almost want to, but there's one team that's at least worse than them. The Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, wow.
Colts, you suck. You are the fifth worst team in this league right now, power ranking-wise. Your offense, Anthony Richardson, the dude can only throw the deep ball right now. He can't throw this stuff that's short. I mean, he threw some bad interceptions, John. Bad interceptions this week. Looks like trash. Your running game was good until you don't give the guy the ball and you take him out in the third quarter and he never sees another play. You're paying this guy how many million dollars a year? Yep, that's right. Okay, but we're going to put Evan Hall in there. We're going to put all these other little guys in, give him a chance. You're going to give Trey Sermon a carry when it's fourth and one and you're going to instead run your power back with Jonathan Taylor. You're going to do a halfback cross pass to what are you doing? What are you doing? Colts, come on. Damn, this is just Saturday. This is terrible. Your defense, besides your injuries, the Buckner. Okay, Buckner out is what it is. Zaire Franklin, Pro Bowler, where are you at? Secondary, where are you guys at? Holy, Kenny Moore. I think I saw signs downtown for highway robbery because he still took the money from the Colts brand. I didn't see Kenny Moore do a single thing.
Mm-mm.
I'm calling them out. I am calling, and you can clip this, John. I am calling out the Indianapolis Colts.
You're going to get in trouble.
You cannot lose this game this week. I'm sorry, you can't. This is a more of a must win than any game I've ever called in my entire life. Colts, you cannot lose to the Bears. The I-65 battle,
wow.
You cannot lose, not only for yourselves, but for your fans and the franchise.
Wow.
Because if they lose, John, somebody is getting fired. And it might be that defensive coordinator.
Mm. After this weekend's –
tell me the lie. Tell me the lie. Where do you spot the lie?
I
think you're glazing over it, man. You're glazing over it. Come on. Go after these Colts, man. They deserve it. They're 0-2. They played like shit.
No, I'm not. I didn't glaze over the Colts, man. I'm just saying who's going to get fired. They won't get fired. He hasn't fired anybody, and I'm talking about the owner. He hasn't fired anybody mid-season like never. He hasn't.
He don't have to fire that. The head coach can fire the defensive coordinator.
Yeah. But you know that's not who's called. That's not who's pulling the strings.
And somebody asked me this the other day. They posed a great question. Who the hell says Shane Steichen is a great offensive play caller? I don't think him and Cooter. They've made some bad decisions themselves on game plans.
Well, he's been known to do. He had Justin Herbert for like 1 year with the team with the Chargers. I think he had with the Eagles. And Jalen Hurts for another year. So, you know, all those quarterbacks were also, again, on trajectory themselves. So, but I also would say they were wrong higher trajectory than Anthony Richardson, though. You know what I'm saying? You can't compare. That's the problem, Brandon. That's like, oh, man, he was good with this guy, he was good with that. Like, hey, man, Herbert was pretty damn good coming out of Washington in Pac-12 play. He was. He was throwing it everywhere. People were concerned about could he stay in the pocket. And you can see that now. He just can't stay 100%. And, you know, so Jalen Hurts, they just didn't think he could throw a deep enough ball. And, like, my goodness, they still running tush push. I thought they were supposed to ban it, Brandon. They still running tush push. Can you believe it? You know what I'm saying? But nah, man. So he had those quarterbacks, you know what I'm saying, that he helped with their, you know what I'm saying, quote unquote, their development and whatnot to become the quarterback they are today. And, like, he's supposed to be, you know what I'm saying, offensive minded guru or whatnot. It hasn't happened yet, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? A great tight end, you know what I'm saying, play in his office, man. Like I said, it hasn't necessarily happened yet with the coach, but, you know, again, a lot of things they're asking this particular coach to do. Develop his quarterback, you know what I'm saying? Get the team to the playoffs, you know what I'm saying? Run it back with the same defensive players. And again, they're real vanilla and really light in the off secondary. So a lot of things going against right now, Brandon. I don't know. You say they got. You said that they got to win. The Colts got to beat the Bears. I tell you, dude, it's gonna be a tie.
Hey, you just oof. I hope not for Colts fans, for the sake, because Facebook has been dead silent for Reggie Sykes this season. He's got the crying Jordan for Reggie Sykes. I saw Colts fans with a paper bag over their head. You can't. Now listen, what did I say?
Notre Dame broke his heart.
Exactly. I think there was a podcast that we did maybe about 4, 5, 6 episodes ago where we did the season prep, John. And I said, do not be surprised if the Colts start 0-4. At least. Schedule doesn't do them kindly early. It does late, but early, tough times. And by the way, Chicago, hey man. The Sunday night national television game for Caleb Williams, orange uniforms and the orange helmet. That's Madden-esque, man. Go back to the regular stuff. Bears don't need to be wearing orange helmets and orange jerseys. Get rid of it. You better earn that shit. They didn't earn it. What'd you say?
You said they didn't earn it.
They didn't earn it. They haven't.
They should go back to the blue.
Yeah, I mean, on the road you can at least wear white. That's a respectable. They ain't earned it yet.
Right.
Got to earn it. If I was the Colts, I know the NFL wouldn't allow because they're a little the way they have the rules. But if I spike and I'd say, hey, take the horseshoes off the side of the helmets. You got to earn those. In high school or college, take the horseshoes off. They ain't earned the horseshoes yet. Take those horseshoes off there.
Dude, you talking mass pandemonium right now, man. You, Brandy, what are you? Are you over sipping? You must be over sipping some cognac or something, man. What is going on, man? Take the horseshoe off. This is
take the horseshoe off. You gotta earn them. Jim Irsay will come in. Hey, man, Anthony Richardson, man, let me put that horseshoe on there, brother. You've earned it, man. Got us our victory. Can't you see that coming? I can.
Brandon, you've lost your mind.
Well, you got to, John. I mean, you look at this team here. You got pandemonium going on with the Colts organization. You got a play call that looks shoddy as hell. The defense hasn't improved in the offseason, and you're charging season ticket holders more for their tickets this year. What are you doing?
You ready to bring out the bag on game two?
I mean, come on, man. I mean, it's something we got to do around here. And, hey, it went hurt for Michael Pittman Jr. to start playing like a number one wide receiver. Just saying. Spot the lie. Once again.
You have alienated the Colts organization tonight on episode 316. I just want to let them know.
Go ahead. I mean, you got nothing to counter it because you know it's true.
No, I got nothing to counter, man. I'm glad that Indianapolis Colts wasn't in the top five of the worst teams going into week three. Well, I'm saying we had expanded in 10, yes, they would be mentioned, but like top five, they are not. So
they are top five. They are fifth, the fifth worst team.
Oh man, I thought you said they were sixth. Damn, Brandon,
no,
I thought you said they were sixth.
The Jaguars are sixth.
I got them six, so you know, say right now for the Crossroads.
Okay,
sports,
well, average wise, they're 5.5.
5.5. I'm good with that. They're still five. They still suck. They're still like you should have brought back Gardner Minshew. I know they're probably listening.
Oh,
yeah, he should have came back.
What about Matt Ryan?
For what? Man, Matt Ryan would be up there. He just get happy to say let him talk when he you know what I'm saying, we get on TV. He's like, hey, man. Stop it. You would not do that. You did not do that when you were with the Atlanta Falcons, you liar. That's what I want to – man, I want to jump through the TV so bad.
Oh.
Call him a liar so much. You're a liar. Come up in here at Indianapolis.
John, you want my top five quarterbacks right now?
Top five in the NFL?
Top five quarterbacks in the NFL after this week.
Ain't none of them rookies. Can't be.
Nope.
Okay.
Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray's playing well. I like what I'm seeing right now. He's fifth best quarterback in the league, the way he's playing.
I don't know where you're going with that one, but all right.
Fourth, Josh Allen. Even without Stephon Diggs, Allen's got this Bills team at 2-0, playing well.
He's playing very well, yeah.
Future Hall of Famer, Patty Mahomes. Got him third, John.
Third best.
Yeah, I mean, Mahomes is doing Mahomes things. You can't always have him first every week, John. He'd be first every week. It'd be a boring segment, so you got to put him third.
Second,
Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield's playing unbelievable football down there in Tampa Bay right now, John. You would want him on the Indianapolis Colts uniform. I would want him in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform as their quarterback. The Bears would like Baker Mayfield as their starting quarterback as well. The way he's fit that system, he's playing well. The dude's found a niche. He earned that contract, and he's not earning the contract and then playing like shit. He's excelling this team, and they had a huge win on the road at Detroit. So I got him at number two.
Yeah.
Can you guess my number one quarterback right now?
It ain't Aaron Rodgers.
Nope.
It better not be.
This quarterback had a great quarterback season and was in the top four in stats for yardage, for touchdowns, for QBR. Was in 2020. Do you know what else was in 2020, John? It was an election year. What's this year?
Okay.
It's another election year. And he's on top of the stats again. Ladies and gentlemen, my number one quarterback right now, top five quarterback, number one on the list right now, as of end of week two, Derek Carr. Carr's playing fantastic down there in New Orleans.
Oh, my God. He is, man. He's playing incredible, man. They blitz and like, people kind of forget about Alvin Kamara, you know what I'm saying? And he's tearing them up, on the carpet. Like, nah, man, the Saints is – I'm not getting ready to say the Saints is for real, But you can't just automatically peg them as, like, you know what I'm saying, as a fan, hey, man, the Saints, we're going to, you know what I'm saying, that's the game we're going to win. It's not the Aints this year. It's like the Saints. You have to really prepare for them, man. And, like, you know what I'm saying, leading the way for them is the, you know what I'm saying, the gunslinger Derek Carr. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's always, though, Brent, he's always puts up great numbers. It's like those numbers, where they last outside of week 7.
Oh, I know, right? He's up there.
Yeah.
We're all about rankings. Yeah, speaking of, I love this. Jim Harbaugh had a great quote tonight. When asked about his coaching staff, Harbaugh's quote was, quote, like Moses, I'm going to die leaning on my staff.
Wait a minute.
End quote.
Come on, Jim. You got to stay away from that, man. Jim be killing me, man. Like, you already got away with lying. Like, stop stealing. Stop. Don't start going blasphemous now. You know what I'm saying? Don't be putting yourself on the line with Moses. You just Jim Harbaugh. You just won a couple national championships and went to the Super Bowl, man. Don't be talking about you just parted the Red Sea, little brother. Slow down, Jim.
Schefter also put out a half hour ago. Actually, yeah, half hour ago we started this show, John. Two-time Super Bowl MVP Eli Manning, former Defensive Players of the Year Luke Kuechly and Terrell Suggs, and Adam Vinatieri are among the first-time nominees for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2025.
Man,
do you have a problem with any of those guys?
I ain't got a problem with Eli Manning at all, but, I mean, people are.
Oh, people will, absolutely.
You know,
I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, John. He's won 2 Super Bowls. Stats are not
correct.
The greatest. I think he's got an even amount of touchdowns and interceptions. He's thrown for 57,000 yards, 366 touchdowns, 4-time Pro Bowler. Was never an All-Pro or never led a major statistical category, but
it was weird, Brandon. We know it was weird. They get to the playoffs, and it's like a switch come on. It turned it up.
Yeah,
and he went into the house that Brett Favre built or whoever else built, and he outdueled them on Lambeau Field and came on back. Man, Eli Manning was incredible in the playoffs. That's the thing that can't, like, man, if you put the playoff stuff in there, man, he's like, wow. All he needed was the defense to step up a little bit, and that's what they did. You know what I mean? And it's kind of like who they beat, you know what I'm saying, too, in the Super Bowl. They beat Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl. So that kind of means something. That kind of helped him carry over to a Hall of Fame talk. So, but like, no, I don't have no problem with nobody else on the list.
I will still say that Hines Ward still needs to be a Hall of Famer, that if Reggie Wayne gets in or a Torrey Holt get in, Hines Ward needs to get in as well. So I'm gonna die on that stat. Even Steve Smith, Senior,
man.
If he gets on, Hines Ward should get in.
I don't know. I like
John, there's 10 quarterbacks. I'm looking at the entire nominee list still for Pro Football Hall of Fame. There are 10 quarterbacks eligible for the Hall of Fame, because you know, after so many years, you get booted out if you don't get in. Here's your quarterback list. And I think Eli might be the only one to get in out of these 10 guys that are on the list. Mark Bulger, Randall Cunningham,
no.
Jake Delhomme,
mm.
Doug Flutie,
mm.
Rich Gannon, mm. Jeff Garcia, Donovan McNabb, Eli Manning, Steve McNair, Tony Romo.
Mm. You don't think they'll get a nod? I know he didn't get to the Super Bowl, but he got a lot of great. He's the opposite of Eli Manning. He got a lot of great seasons. You know what I'm saying? Donovan McNabb. McNabb went to a Super Bowl. Just came up short. They lived in the NFC Championship game. They lived there.
Yeah.
For how many seasons?
Great. Great, something like that.
You kind of look at him. You kind of look at them like that. Bulger, hey man, it was good to watch. You know what I'm saying? Some of those who else? Gannon. It was good to watch those guys in a small vacuum of the seasons that they played. Maybe 2 or 3 seasons. They might have had something that looked like real gaudy, touchdown interception ratios. But like, nah, man. That Bulger. Give me another name. Who else was it? The other kid that used to play for. He played for the 49ers.
Rich Gannon.
Garcia.
Garcia?
No, nah, Garcia. No, nah, man. All due respect, man. He went to Virginia Tech, I think. I think that's his college, man. But, like, man, nah, man. They had some great seasons, those quarterbacks did, but I couldn't put them in the Hall of Fame. Nah.
Running backs-wise, there's 31 running backs still eligible.
Okay.
And then I'm going to do running backs and wide receivers, then I'll get your thoughts. Sean Alexander, these are some – Sean Alexander, Terry Allen, Jamal Anderson, Tiki Barber, Jamal Charles, Stephon Davis, Corey Dillon, Warwick Dunn, Eddie George, Priest Holmes, Steven Jackson, Chris Johnson, CYJ2K, John Kuhn, Dorsey Levins, Jamal Lewis, Marshawn Lynch, first year for Marshawn Lynch, eligible, Clinton Portis, Robert Smith, Darren Sproles, Fred Taylor, Ricky Waters, Ricky Williams.
No.
Some of the names. Did any of those intrigue you for a
Hall of Fame? When you say Eddie George, man, dude, killed the coach. I feel like when we played for Tennessee, they needed a first down. First down. Give the ball Eddie. First down. Give the ball Eddie George. First down. I feel like, you know, what I'm saying, I can't remember what he did against the Steelers because they knew they had the Steelers and Steelers in Tennessee at that time had a rivalry.
Yeah,
Eddie George. I cannot remember if he tore him up against Steelers or not, but I know he tore him up against the Colts for sure. Go ahead. Clinton Portis, that kind of reminds me. Man, he had a couple good model seasons, man. He can't knock him.
Eddie's in. He thinks Eddie should be in.
Who said?
Reggie Sykes says that Eddie George should be in.
I got nothing against that, man.
I got nothing against that, man. Here's your wide receiver list. 21 wide receivers are eligible for the Hall of Fame. Corey Holt, Joe Horn, Chad Ochocinco, Brandon Marshall, Derek Mason, Herman Moore, Musa Muhammad, Jordy Nelson, Andre Rison, Jimmy Smith, Rod Smith, Steve Smith Sr., the late Demaryius Thomas, Hines Ward, Reggie Wayne, Wes Welker, and Roddy White.
Man, Andre Rison was incredible. He was pretty good. He was real good, but he was more of a complimentary receiver that always did some very dynamic things. But when you put him by himself, you kind of see him like, oh, we're not getting our money's worth. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he was a big mouth, and he was a diva, and you know, he dated a pop star, all those things, man. I don't know if he gets in, but he had a lot of he can get in on if you can get in on Flash and like you know this era is different, Brandon. He would be the one that you got to get in with that media credit because like he got that cachet, all that. You know what I'm saying? But who else is on that list? I didn't really hear nobody else's names on there. Torrey Holt. All due respect to Torrey Holt. I can't. You know what I'm saying? That you know what I'm saying what he did with the Rams. You said Sean Alexander was his name on there.
No, that was on the right.
But Torrey Holt, Andre Rison, for sure. There's some debate around those names for sure.
Reggie says he's okay with Ward, Reggie, and Torrey getting in all three.
Ward and okay, they're not gonna. That ain't gonna never happen. But okay.
Somebody wants a fine gentleman once told me there's a reason why it's called the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Good.
Right. Everybody can't get in.
That was a wise man that once told me that. So
Joe Horn can't get in, man.
He's got to get his Sharpie out in New Orleans, sign some things.
So
as we get Tanner on here, John, we'll get Tanner on momentarily. I do want to thank our sponsor, Scott's K. Nichols State Farm Insurance. Without Scott K. John and his expertise in State Farm, without them, I know Scott just celebrated another year. Awesome. We couldn't do it without them. They help power us. They help getting us going through the airwaves and out to the people. And has been a big supporter since day one, really, since our show. So we want to thank our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. Please reach out to them. Get a quote, whether it be for your house, whether it be for your business, whether it be for your car, please reach out to them. He'll get you started right away. What question? I had another question before we brought Tanner on for you, John. Oh, while we're waiting for him real quick. John, Indiana Fever, man. Caitlin Clark, playoffs are upcoming. They clinched the 6th seed. They're likely probably going to face Connecticut. I heard some crazy lady today on the airwaves say that people are I don't know how I'm going to go about it. It's people are specifically targeting going cheering for Caitlin Clark so they don't cheer for Angel Reese as a black woman. That might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Because if you talk about little girls wearing a Caitlin Clark jersey at those arenas, do you think they're sitting there saying, yeah, that's the reason why we're doing it? Like, no. Caitlin Clark's a great player in her own way. That's why they're cheering for her.
Yeah, I see grown men wearing Caitlin Clark jerseys, man. You know, that's a trip to me. You know what I'm saying? I don't delve into the whole race thing with Caitlin Clark, you know what I'm saying, dynamic. Again, man, Angel Reese is a great basketball player, but she got a big mouth. Caitlin Clark's a great basketball player. She got a big mouth, too. People that happen to like them because they do play hard. They seemingly play harder, and you kind of see them. When they watch play, man, the Sky Force would be down. Oh my goodness, Brandon, 16 points, man. You can't miss Angel Reese because she's out there, you know what I'm saying, rebounding, or, you know what I'm saying, playing hard, setting screens or whatever, you know what I'm saying, trying to block a shot or whatever. Same thing can be said about Caitlin Clark. Every game they played in, they haven't been in. You know what I'm saying? Some of the games are blowouts. It's like, man, every now and then, man, she'll get to her step back and a drill on a three. You're like, wow, incredible. You know what I'm saying? So they do come with, you know what I'm saying, a whole lot of eyes. You know what I'm saying? They had the star mat. They had that, you know what I'm saying, magnetic personality. You know what I'm saying? You see them on your TV screen. So, I'm glad they, you know what I'm saying, the Fever are where they're at right now from a win and one loss standpoint. They've kind of put the ball in their best player's hands. Whether that be Caitlin Clark, would that be, you know what I'm saying, Aaliyah Boston, that's kind of who they kind of attributed their success to. Right now, I know some of the other vets are kind of, you know what I'm saying, come forth in jail as well. I don't want to, you know what I'm saying, kind of look over anybody as far as the Fever is concerned. Man, it put together a nice little win streak, man, where everybody kind of thought they were going to be another, you know what I'm saying, another woeful season, you know what I'm saying, four games into it, you know what I'm saying, to this season. So, man, Fever, rock and roll, it's good for the city, good for Gamebridge, man, you know what I'm saying. They've kind of had to prepare for it from an event standpoint. And kind of like on the road, too, man, you know what I'm saying, when the Fever come to your town, man, you know what I'm saying, all the people who want to see Caitlin Clark play,
okay,
they come out, you know, you know what I'm saying, so like, man, you know, it's great for the Fever.
All right, Tanner's gotten held up at work, so he may make the call and do some rapid picks at the end of the show.
Okay.
So we are going to go ahead and do our picks, John. First, before we do the picks, I guess, I want to get into college football real quick. The Pac-12 is back, John. Well, most of the Pac-12 is getting back together. It was noted last week that San Diego State, Colorado State, Fresno State, and Boise State will all be joining the Pac-12 starting in 2026.
I love it. They just need California to come on back, too.
Stanford and Cal, bring them back. And then Florida State, John. 0-3, lose to Memphis. Time to fire the coach. Time to reset.
Oh, wow.
What's your thoughts? 0-3. Florida State?
I like it. I like this. It's a good program builder. You know what I'm saying? The American Football League. You want me to harp on Florida State, man? Nah, man. They spent every last little dollar they had in NIL money. They cried about wanting to leave an ACC so they can join a conference that they couldn't even beat Vanderbilt right now. You know what I'm saying? They could be. They go to Brandon. They go to the SEC and be automatically become Auburn, forgotten. You go to the SEC and automatically become Mississippi State, man. They better rearrange. They better think about what they're doing down there, and in Florida State, how they're spending the NIL and how they're building their football team for real, for real. So, but no, man, it's good to see the little you know what I'm saying, quote unquote underdog, you know, the mid major beat. Florida State, beat Florida State at home, you know what I'm saying? It was good to see, man. Memphis is not necessarily a team that is on anybody's world beaters, you know what I'm saying, list. But, like, you know, if they play their conference, you know what I'm saying, smartly and play their schedule and not overlook and kind of go out undefeated, they'll make the Power Five, you know, the Group of Five. You know, however that works, you know what I'm saying, they'll get a shot at the playoffs. So Memphis is, you know, saying hoping that they can finish undefeated, or at least definitely with a one loss.
Texas, the new number one AP team, Quinn Ewers goes down with a strain. Thank God it was just a strain. But Arch came in and picked up the pieces where Quinn Ewers left it. Texas rolled their new number one AP.
I really couldn't argue with it, man. I just didn't think we should. Georgia played a better significant role.
I mean, you can't argue. You had Georgia still number one in your poll.
Right. Well, Georgia played Kentucky, man. I didn't think Kentucky could hold Georgia to what it was.
What a scumbag, Martin Stoops. Well, he has no integrity. He has no integrity. He's got no intestinal fortitude. It's fourth and one on the opposite side of the field against the number one team in the country, and you punt with 2 minutes to go? Come on, man. Come on. You got to have a coach that's got balls that's going to go for something like that. You've held Georgia for that long. I understand that. But, Jesus, you think you're going to be able to hold them on one more drive where Georgia knows it's smash-mouth football, and if they get that ball back, they ain't letting up? Come on, man. It's not a tie game, Mark. It wasn't a tie game where Georgia had to come down and score. They had to get a first down. You wasted your timeouts. You gotta press. If you're Kentucky in that situation, you got to press. Fourth and one, you get your hog mollies in there. You get that 1 yard. You kick your field goal. The kicker's good. It's not like he wasn't good. Man, I don't like it. He has no balls. Mark Stoops, no balls in Kentucky.
Damn. He lucky Kentucky's a football school, basketball school.
Very.
Right. No, man. I still think Georgia's still the best team in the nation. Followed by, you know what I'm saying, Texas or Ohio State. You know what I'm saying? Texas looks great from the offense standpoint. Ohio State, when they're off, I think they were off on a bye week this week. They'll get back to crushing people, individuals, you know what I'm saying, this coming up week. But like, no, man, different shakeup with Texas. Then people want to say the Longhorns want to say they back so bad, Brandon, but I can't necessarily say they did back just yet.
They're back. Toledo, another MAC school, this time they take down the SEC, Mississippi State. Trouble in Stark Vegas.
You said trouble?
Trouble. Ever since Mike Leach died, trouble in Stark Vegas. Another MAC school gets another dub against a big conference. Or a big opponent.
Can't hate on it, man. That pulls down their conference a little bit. Mississippi State, and you have Vanderbilt, two programs.
Whoa, easy on Vandy. They're all right.
Auburn, too. Florida, too. Man, look at the conference, man. I get it. Oklahoma is still out there. That's in the middle part of your conference right now. You know what I'm saying? Tennessee, who you don't believe in. Y'all don't believe in Tennessee. Y'all say Ole Miss is better than Tennessee. I think Tennessee is going to finish better than Ole Miss this year, to be seen. But I don't necessarily – the conference is kind of top-heavy again. It's made itself out to be top-heavy again.
Okay. All right, let's do Pick'em. Pick'em last week, John. Me and you, I went 4-6 last week. You went 5-5. We're both still above 500, 16-15-1 for me. You're 18-13-1. You're leading the way. Tanner, and some will say he's not on the call because how historic last week was for Tanner. 1-9, John. Tanner, 1-9, 12-19-1 overall. He wanted me to say he's not on the call. Just he's not a coward, and he'll live up to what his record was last week, and things happen. But 1-9 for Tanner. He was the champ last year. You had to admit how well he did. But tough, tough break for Mr. Penrod after that week. So what do? We regroup, John. We regroup this week. First game on the board, Ball State at Central Michigan. Ball State is underdogs, 6.5-point underdogs. I'm going to take Ball State. I think they laid the egg last week. Listen. They had to wait around how many hours to get this damn game in because of the thunderstorms down in Miami, Central Michigan. Give me Ball State to cover the 6.5.
Yeah, I like Ball State to cover 6.5 as well, man. Playing a little bit more like you know, saying yoked opponent for them is something that they'll kind of get up for, man. On the road, you know, saying they'll get it out of dodge. It'll be a quick game for them, man. But I like Ball State to cover the six.
Next game, Purdue at Oregon State. Oregon State's 4.5-point favorites, John. What do you like in this one?
Just four? Man, I don't know, man. I know Oregon State got shellacked by Oregon. Shellacked, Brandon. They got shellacked, man. But Purdue got taken out of everything. I mean, they got taken out of everything by Notre Dame. Offensively, they got taken out of it. Defensively, Notre Dame did what they wanted to do.
Coaching.
So, coaching. They did what they were. You know what I'm saying? My guy was over looking at the paper. You know what I'm saying? Constantly. If he was up, they was up 50-something, and, you know what I'm saying, 54 to whatever. I was like, dude, why does he keep on looking at the paper? You know what I'm saying? But
looking for a job, probably. He should be fired.
Well, I'm not talking
about it. Ryan Walters' head. The experience is over. Get him out. Done with it.
Yeah. But, no, man, so this weekend, man, I don't think it bodes well for Purdue at all, man. I'm going the other way.
Okay, you're taking Oregon State. Called for Brian Walters' head last week. Piss poor performance, getting your team ready against a rival. You had a whole extra week off, and you went out there and laid an egg offensively, defensively, special teams, and coaching. You're supposed to be this defensive juggernaut from Illinois coming over here and this team, building this team and say, hey, we're going to build from the defense because it's been an offensive team. You gave up 60-something points. Where the hell? Did you put all the defensive players on offense? Because that was bad. Piss poor. He needs to be fired. This needs to be his last year. The Ryan Walters experience is over at Purdue. If they give him more time than what they gave Daryl Hazel, then the AD at Purdue's an idiot. And at that point, they need to get rid of him as well. So I'm sorry, but with that being said, I'm taking Purdue in this game. I'm getting him one more shot.
What?
One more. Hey, if Purdue is bad, Oregon State's just as bad. And somehow, maybe Walters has one shot to get the team saying, you know
wow.
what, we killed that shit last week. Let's just open up the playbook. Let's just open up everything and see what the hell happens out here in Corvallis. I'm going to take Purdue plus the 4.5. Maybe they lose by 3. They cover.
This feels like a bowl game.
Right? 100%. Number 12, Utah at number 13, Oklahoma State. Big 12 conference game, John. I'm going to take Oklahoma State minus the 2.5 at home. Gundy and them boys. Now, Cam Rising's been hurt. I think he might be playing, but I'd rather have a healthy team and a quarterback that's been there just maybe one extra year than Cam Rising has. That's like the seventh-year senior versus the sixth-year senior with Bowman and Rising in this game. But give me Oklahoma State. I'll take the home team minus the 2.5.
Yeah, I kind of like Oklahoma. I mean, this is why we need Tanner on here for that third pick because he's like, wait a minute, man. Here comes something. Wait a minute, Coach, they haven't covered since. You know what I'm saying? But I like Oklahoma State, man. I think Gundy is trying to surprise again, man. He knows, you know, that everybody's team is kind of flawed in the Big 12. You know what I'm saying? They're beatable. All of them are. If you catch, you know what I'm saying, if they catch you in the sleeping, then you become the one lost. So, no, they're not going to say Utah. They know the scouting report on Cam Rising. You know what I'm saying? With them, I know this is not necessarily, this is a new game for them. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Utah not necessarily somebody they play every year. But in this new Big 12, you know what I'm saying, this is somebody that kind of mirrors their own, you know what I'm saying, firepower for firepower. I mean, I like it as a quality game. I just like Oklahoma State to kind of come out at the end. That's why I'm going to Oklahoma State.
Okay. NC State at number 22, Clemson. Clemson, 20.5-point favorites, John.
You thought Clemson was dead, man. You know them. Brandon, I put on Facebook, they owe the Hoosiers an apology, and we'll get to them. Indiana football apology. Some of you people do. You owe the Irish, Notre Dame, an apology. And, Brandon, you owe Clemson an apology, man. You owe them an apology.
Not yet. Until they win the ACC.
They're going to, man, with the way Florida State looks like, and I don't know. I mean,
Miami's good. Cam Ward, Heisman candidate.
Miami had a home cooking, man. They call a daggone weather storm down there and beat Ball State. They probably should have beat Ball State by – it shouldn't have been no 62. It should have been like 32 or something, you know, 32 to 13. But they had a daggone storm down there, man. Ain't nobody – oh, man, we getting racked now. And we got to wait for the storm to pass? Nah, man. You know, the morale was down. So I ain't believing in the U just yet. Not just yet, man. Sorry. So give me Clemson, man. They winning this game.
I'm taking Clemson minus the 20.5 as well. I think they NC State's just been a letdown this year. First couple games of the year, I don't like what I see out of them. So, yeah, I'll take Clemson as well. Charlotte at Indiana. Hoosiers 28-point favorites in this game. John,
right
on the second schedule.
I told them, man. I told them the Hoosiers is back.
It's a tough take schedule, John.
Oh, Brandon, everybody got to play. Everybody in the Big Ten got to play Maryland, Northwestern. Who cares? You got to, you know, that not to look ahead, not to look over Charlotte. They just beat. They are hot off the heels of beating UCLA. They beat the brakes off Western Illinois.
Yeah,
and Florida International. Florida International. They left in the wind. Come on, man. You got to revel. You got to revel in the Big Red Express. You know what I'm saying? As long as, you know, I mean, as long as you're a Purdue fan, man. It's like, no, man. They're gonna beat the Charlotte 49ers like they stole something, Brandon. That team can't run the ball. They are, man. That team can't run the ball worth a lick. So it's a predictable offense. I'm not saying they can't score, but like these Hoosiers, man, what they averaging? 40 something points against things, man. Right. So I expect them to keep up the scoring, and like, you know, they'll be, you know, looking great. You know what I'm saying? Next game is who, against Maryland? That's another quality opponent for them, man. You got to play who's in front of you.
Okay.
Who's ranked?
Next one, John. Number 7, Tennessee. 7-point favorites at number 15, Oklahoma. John, conference game. Who do you like?
Oklahoma's probably pissed, man. They'd rather be playing Baylor this weekend, man. Shouldn't they? You know what I'm saying? Somebody know they can beat. Nah, man. I like Tennessee in this one, man. I'm going with the Vols.
Okay. You hear this?
He's making money, y'all.
Here it comes. Fun. This ain't Jim Ross coming down the arena either. When you hear this fight song on a Saturday, dun 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 dun. I'm going with Oklahoma. The Sooners. Plus the 7 at home. Give me the underdog. Give me the Sooners. I think they at least cover this. John, I'll tell you what, there ain't more of a fight song that I'm listening to, and I've heard it through WWE. My buddy, my best friend, Sean Dorey, is a big Sooners fan, and there ain't nothing like a Saturday when you're betting the over or you're betting on a team against Oklahoma, and all you hear is that damn Boomer Sooner fight song, dun 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 dun, and you're just sweating out your bet because – you're trying to get to that over. The Boomer Sooner, that band plays it every time, just like Florida State plays their war chant. But you're sitting there sweating it out, trying to win a big bet, and you're just here, dun, 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 dun. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play Oklahoma. I'm taking Oklahoma because I want to be on the right side of that fight song this week. I don't want to be sitting there sweating a bet against them. I don't want to be sweating it over. Just give me – Oklahoma plus the 7, and I can sit there and do the dun, 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 dun. I'll do it with them. So give me the Sooners in this one plus the 7. Mm. Next one, Arkansas at Auburn. Auburn 3-point favorites, and I do not like what I've seen down there at Auburn, John. Hugh Freeze might be door opening, grand closing, right? Give me Arkansas plus the 3. And Arkansas had a chance last week, John. They had a great chance to win their ball game. I forget who they played. I watched that game, and they kind of let it go out the door. Give me a second. I got to see who they played real quick last week, and I watched it. Who the hell? Oh no, 2 weeks ago. Excuse me. When they played Oklahoma State and went to overtime, they should have beat Oklahoma State at Oklahoma State. But I like this. I like this Sam Pittman team. So I'm gonna take Arkansas on the road at Auburn.
Just to change it I'm gonna take Auburn. I think Arkansas. I'm gonna take Auburn. Just to change it up.
Miami, Ohio, a MAC school. John, tell me if you've heard of them before. At number 18, yes. Notre Dame. Notre Dame, 28-point favorites against the MAC.
We do not get
a repeat, do we?
They're not getting prized up no more, man. They're going to crush the MAC school. Sorry, y'all. Go with Notre Dame.
I'm taking Notre Dame as well. Baylor at Colorado. Colorado, 2-point favorites, John. Now, I know you got on a soapbox earlier this week talking about Shedeur Sanders and his little post-game comments going after the quarterback. Your thoughts on that whole situation before you give your pick? I'm taking Colorado minus the 2. I'll let you go from here.
Nah, man, they gotta listen, man. Y'all came off on a great win. Y'all beat Colorado State, but let's just be honest, man. Texas beat the hell out of Colorado State. Y'all beat Colorado State, and you still left everybody out there, man. So don't act like, you know what I'm saying, you heard every little negative comment, you know what I'm saying, that they was cussing, they was sucking, you know what I'm saying. Y'all, you know what I'm saying, Deion and them play this game of back and forth on the internet too, man. I like it when everything just kind of play out on the field and the best team wins, man, you know. But that's kind of all what it was, you know what I mean. Little dust up, you know what I mean. It is what it is, you know what I mean. For the fans to kind of remember, and you know, so it'll get some teams, you know, Colorado State motivated. You know what I'm saying? They got to get their action together. Colorado, you know what I'm saying, a little bit more closer to home. They got to get impressive wins together. You know what I'm saying? Because after taking a loss from Nebraska, man, still nobody really necessarily believes that Colorado can get back in any type of playoff conversation, any type of real playoff conversation, without you know what I'm saying. Without winning their games going further, like all of them, you know what I'm saying? They still got some tough ones ahead of them. So, like that's kind of how I see with Colorado, man. It ain't hating with me with Deion. I'm rooting for Deion, but like, man, sometimes they be gloating about the wrong damn thing or complaining about the wrong damn thing. But with this game, with this weekend game, man, I think it is gonna be a close one, man. I think Colorado should cover for darn sure.
I got Colorado as well in that one, so we're good there. Before we go to the next game, John, I don't remember the last time a college football team, Division I team, scored 100 points in a game themselves. Back in the quadruple, fifth overtimes, and people were scoring touchdowns like crazy. But later on this month, we may have our first team to score 100 because Oregon's going to come to Purdue, and they're going to whoop that ass so bad they may have that. Dylan Gabriel's going to come up and throw up 10 touchdowns and put himself square leader in the Heisman race. You watch. That's probably going to happen.
This is the same Purdue that put up a 60-point themselves against Indiana State. You forgot about that.
Stop. Indiana State's not in Division I. I'm sorry, John. I know that school's dear to your heart. But they also had a very bad beat last week against Eastern Illinois that it was on bad beats with Scott Van Pelt, so they made their way. Last two games, John. Number 11, USC, 5.5-point favorites on the road. First Big Ten game going to number 17, Michigan. USC, Michigan, 5.5 USC favorites. Your thoughts?
Going to be a tough one, man. I'm taking Michigan. They're going to save home, man. They're going to save home.
5.5
Brandon been zapping me out. He's been zapping me tonight, y'all. That's crazy.
Last game of the night, California. Cal from the ACC, John. The Atlantic Coast Conference, California Golden Bears at Florida State. Florida State, 2.5-point favorites, John. 0-3. This is my condo pick. Florida State, give me Florida State -2.5.
Wow.
I'm going to change on it. This will be my double-up game. We need to start doing a double-up game where it's worth 2, if you feel that confident in it. Give me Florida State, double Florida State, -2.5. I think they cover this to get their first win.
What happens if they lose? You lose 2?
I lose 2 if they lose.
No, I'll allow you to win, but I'll allow you to double, man. You ain't got to lose by 2. But, like, nah, man, I need to put some respect on California's name. I'm going to do some deep-sea diving and learn a little bit more about the team. They beat Auburn a couple weeks ago, man. They are technically still one of the, I do believe they still are one of the undefeated teams left in the land. Give me California, man. I know it's crazy. They're going to beat Florida State.
Okay. Is there any of those games, John, that we've went through that you want to put your double on? You get one a week to put a doubler on.
Not this week. I will not use it this week.
You will not use it this week. Okay. I'm using mine on Florida State. So I will ask Tanner. That'll be our new thing. The new wrinkle this year, we're doing it in week four, is going to be you have of the card, you get it one game. If you win, it's worth two. If you lose, it's worth two for a loss. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We'll see. And if it's a – the only time it will not be doubled is if it ends up being a push. So a push will still just be one for that. So we'll get Tanner's picks. We'll put them on here later on. Either on probably on Thursday or Friday, we'll put those picks up here, and we'll go on. Hopefully, Tanner will have a better week this week, and John will continue to do what we're doing, staying above 500 every week. So
yeah.
We need to. I definitely need to. I'm one game above right now. So last thing I have college football-wise, John, Air Force, looking at the AAC. Army is already there. You told me in a text you thought it would be a perfect fit.
Yeah, man, anybody likes late West Coast football where you can see all kind of atmosphere, like the Army plays in all types of terrain, man, for real. Air Force does too. You know what I'm saying? Snow, rain. They have some great football players out there, man. So, no, I'm all supportive of whatever bigger platform they can get, you know what I'm saying, get more eyes in there. I'm all for it, man. So, but no, man, Brandon, I got a little PSA. I think I got a little – no, I thought I did, a little basketball PSI. I know there's not too much going on in the NBA right now for darn sure. You kind of shared with me with that kid from here, Mullins kid from Indiana, who's making his trip around the basketball hemisphere. I thought he was – you know what I'm saying? Once Purdue offered you here from Indiana, man, I thought that was it. And he went from, you know what I'm saying, being recruited from Purdue to – He took a visit up to UConn, and now he's, you know what I'm saying, not taking a trip to Duke. Man, I thought it was rather interesting, man, this kid, you know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? His star rating went up too, you know what I'm saying? So I get it, man. He got better, but, like, you know what I'm saying, where is he going to stop it? You know what I'm saying? Duke, Purdue, UConn, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're turning your back on a whole lot of programs, bro. So, like, what is it? You know what I mean? So, outside of that, that's every kind of I have for basketball.
Okay. By the way, man, baseball is heating up. Man, I've been watching on ESPN. They've been doing this around the league where they dive into every game. Kind of like, it's almost like being near Red Zone. I love it.
Uh-huh.
Especially this playoff time, the Mets just hit a grand slam. So they're up 9-0 now in the Nationals. Playoff races are heating up in baseball, John. I love this idea that ESPN came up with their own version of Red Zone, but with Major League Baseball. Huge clutch. I love it. It's getting the fans into it, doing this type of thing. Justin Powell, forgot, commented, John, Colorado's offensive line is like Swiss cheese. Which is worse?
Man.
Justin Powell, which is worse, Colorado's offensive line or the Chicago Bears' offensive line? Because one Swiss cheese, the other one's got to be provolone, right?
Stop it. Stop it.
We're shredding.
It's going to be a tie game, man. Y'all already know this.
Hey, you want to hear my last? I got a little lineup for you. You know I like my list. My top four college coaches on the hot seat.
Go ahead.
Number four, Mark Libby, Mississippi State. The dude is taking over there, has not done his job. They had a piss-poor performance last week, losing to Toledo in the MAC, and you shouldn't do that as an SEC school whatsoever. So, Libby, you'll be on the hot seat, if not gone, at the end of this season. Number three, Ryan Walters. I already went in my rant about Ryan Walters at Purdue. He needs to be canned as well. There's only two other coaches, John, that need to be fired more than those guys. That's Billy Napier in Florida. The fact that I thought it was going to happen finally, the school board directors and them, board of directors, had their meeting on Sunday. So there is definitely some wind in the air for that. And the number one still, Mike Norvell. still needs to be fired at Florida State. So Florida and Florida State or the Sunshine State's got two guys on my list, top two guys to get Mizugi fired out there. Last thing I have for you, John, well, Reggie Sykes says Birdsong has been tripping. He just got Purdue, I don't give a shit. Ryan Walters just got there or not. Grand opening, grand closing. The man is not improved. He had his recruits in. They sucked at recruiting. The only person he got good was Hudson Card in there. Everything else, complete shit. John, how about Woj? Doing a little Woj bomb retirement on the news side. I didn't know you could be a GM of a college team. I didn't know that was possible.
Man, that's crazy. And with St. Bonaventure, of all places, man, and that's not necessarily basketball purgatory.
Right.
I didn't necessarily basketball about Holla either, man. I thought it was kind of odd. You know what I'm saying? You know, ESPN is always shaking up, you know what I'm saying, the faces around there. I'm sure there was a world before there was a Woj. You know what I'm saying? The people kind of remember or whatnot. It's kind of odd. Charm just stepped down as well a couple weeks, you know what I'm saying, as well from his post. I don't know, man. I don't know who gets that job. Does it fall to Windhorst, or does Adam Schefter kind of take over those duties? You know what I'm saying? Football and basketball. Who's the person that's in the direct line talking to agents and whatnot? It remains to be seen, man. Or if Stephen A. himself takes on that job. You know what I mean? He asked for the $18 million. You know what I'm saying? You ask for more money, they're going to give you more responsibility, right? So. It'll be different. It'll be different, you know what I'm saying, somebody get that information out. And then, like I said, St. Bonaventure general manager, that's crazy, man. But, again, man, it ain't, man, that's a basketball purgatory. Nah, man, thanks to everybody who tapped in with us on the live. I thought we was going to get the homie Nas to call in and talk a little Falcons football, man, but we didn't, man. But, you know what I'm saying, we'll check in with him next time, man. Outside of that, I want to say thank you to Scott Kaknick, State Farm, Insurance Man, for being our sponsor. How can we do the show without them? How can we do the show without everybody who says, like I said, chime in with today on the Facebook Live. If you are listening to my voice and have not called into the show, you know what I'm saying, call in onto the show. The show's every Wednesday from 7 to 9. Call in at 929-477-1331. We'd love to hear from you. Outside of that, this has been the Crossroads Sports Show. I have Jonathan Burson. That's Brandon Reef. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks for everybody for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.
Hey, it's me, your kid at a tech smoke alarm. We've been through a lot together. Your housewarming party with the sparklers, the candle fiasco when you proposed, and that time taking care of the twins while trying to cook dinner became a little too complicated. We all make mistakes, but when your family is counting on you, keeping your smoke alarm up to date helps protect you from, well, you. Over 25% faster smoke detection. Kidde, the power to protect. 29% faster average smoke detection based on internal testing of smoldering wood fires for Kidde 9th edition versus leading competitor 8th edition products.
Top reasons your career wants you to move to Ohio. So many amazing growth opportunities, high-paying jobs in technology, advanced manufacturing, engineering, life sciences, and more. You'll soar to new heights, just like the Wright brothers, John Glenn, even Neil Armstrong. Their careers all took off in Ohio, and yours can too. A job that can take you further, and a place you can't wait to come home to. Have it all in the heart of it all. Launch your search at callohiohome.com.